strive to fulfill that purpose. In Esther chapter 4, Haman has made his move. He wants to destroy the Jews because one man failed to bow to him. And he was taking it upon all the Jews. He was going to wipe them out of his territory. In fact, the whole empire. Now, before this happened, God, in his own sovereign way, has made Esther, a foreigner, a Jew, become the queen. So when Haman got his decree out that all the Jews should be exterminated, Mordecai appealed to Esther. Esther, you must do something. You have to go to the king. But the rule was that if the king had not summoned for you, you don't go. And so she was saying, the king hasn't called me for a long time. And if I go unsummoned and he does not raise a scepter, you know the penalty, death. And then Mordecai had this to say. Verse 13, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is the point that I want to, drive home today. That every time, wherever God's child is, he has placed you there for a purpose. And you must seek to know that purpose. And you must do what is within your power, your capability. You must do all you can to fulfill that purpose. Now, when we don't make use of the opportunities God give us, then we lose it. We lose those opportunities. And if it is a ministry, God will set you aside. We bear in mind that he does not need any of us. He can do without us. And Mordecai was saying, look, you are there for such a time as this. You are not there by accident. God knew this was going to happen and he placed you there. Now, if you do not act and you think you are safe in that palace, God will find some other way to deliver his people. But you are going to be destroyed. That was a very strong message to Queen Esther. And thank God, she made the move. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. 3 days, night or day, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she woke up. She came to her senses. She came to herself that, yes, I don't deserve to be here. There must be a reason why I am here. And there is a need here. And God has placed me here. I have the opportunity to meet that need. There is a risk. But if this is what God placed me here for, I'm going to do it. If I perish, I perish. So Esther made use of the opportunity and she saved her people. The point I'm trying to emphasize today is that wherever you are, God has placed you there for a purpose. You are not here by accident. And God is expecting you to rise to the occasion when he gives you opportunity to serve him. If we don't make use of that opportunity, we lose it. Thank God, Esther made use of the opportunity. And God used her to turn things around. When we look into the scriptures, there are other examples. Look at David. David, one day, was sent to go and visit his brothers who were at the battlefront. When he got there, there was a giant standing and bragging his heart out, challenging Israel to bring somebody to come and fight him. At this point, the soldiers at the sight of Goliath have all gone into hiding. And David heard the man speaking and he said, "Who is this braggart? He's speaking against the Lord our God." Now, Eliab was David's elder brother. When he heard David making those comments, the Bible says his anger was kindled against David. He was not making use of the opportunity he had. This was a big challenge. But every challenge God brings our way is an opportunity for us to serve him, to fulfill his purpose, to fulfill his will. And David did not listen to his big brother at this time. He said, "Look, this man is speaking against Jehovah our God. And somebody must do something." Well, somebody heard David speaking. And so he ran to the king. "There is a young man there who is willing to go and challenge the Philistine. Bring him to me." So David was taken to King Saul. "He look at me, but you are just a lad. You are not a soldier. Soldiers are afraid to go before this man. But you, a boy." He said, "Well, when I was taking care of my sheep, one time a bear came threatening my sheep. The Lord gave me strength and I knocked it out. Another time it was a lion and I slew the lion also. God is able to make that giant like one of those animals I slew." Said, "Boy, this boy talks big." No, he was looking at a big God who could do anything. And he found himself on the spot at that time. Who knows whether you have been placed here for such a time as this? And so King Saul said, "Well, put an arm on him." They put the arm on him and he couldn't walk. He said, "I have not tested this. I cannot use them." So he took them off. And as the scripture says, he took his sling, collected some 5 stones. He said, "With God on my side, I don't need so much ammunition. Just 5 stones. And he started approaching the giant. The giant looked at him and he mocked Israel. He said, "Oh, Israel, are you that helpless? You couldn't get anybody to come to fight me than this little boy? And what is he carrying? A stick. You think I'm a dog? That you can come and frighten me with a stick? Come." I'm going to give your body to the fowls of the air. But what did David say? David said, you are coming against me with a spear, with a shield, and with a sword. I'm coming against you in the name of Jehovah God, the God of the armies of Israel. Today he would give you into my hands, and I'll give your body and the host of the Philistines, your carcasses, to the birds of the earth. Now, you can imagine how Goliath felt listening to that little lad talking like that to him. He got so angry, he started invoking his gods. Maybe he was calling Dagon. Dagon, break his leg, you know. But as he was ranting, the Bible says David took one stone and he put it in that sling, and he started swinging it, and he let it go. And the mighty finger of God directed that little stone to the only place that was open, that was not covered with any armor, here on his temples, and the finger of God pressed it in. So the guy did not see it coming. He was still ranting, but all of a sudden he felt it deep into his brain. And before anybody could realize, the Philistine was on the ground. David climbed his huge body, pulled his own sword, and took off his head. He made use of the opportunity God gave him. It was a challenge. It was not easy. It was frightening. But he was there at that time, and he knew what God could do through him. God does not need us, but he gives us opportunities to serve him. And he has placed you and I here for such a time as this, with all the challenges around us, to seek with his wisdom to know what to do and how to go about it. He brought victory to Israel because he did not cower down like the other soldiers did. He made a difference. There's another example I want to bring to your attention. This one came in a different form. Solomon. You know, after Solomon had been made king, there were others. There were older brothers, more qualified, but God, in his mercy, chose Solomon. And that was the son of Bathsheba. The amazing grace of God. Sometimes you can't explain it. Of all the people, Bathsheba's son was chosen. And then God gave Solomon an opportunity. He came to him in the night and said, Solomon, ask me what you want, and I'll do it for you. Can you imagine a modern day politician, God visiting him in the night and say, ask me what you want. They will say, eliminate all my enemies. I don't want any opposition. Of course, wealth. But Solomon thought very seriously about what, you know, God was asking. Anything, yes. All you need to do is ask and I'll give you. This was an opportunity God gave to this young man. He didn't blow it. He thought about it and said, well, I'm young and I don't even deserve to be the king. There are others who were there before me, and you have made me ruler over this, your great people. Lord, please give me wisdom, so that I will know how to govern your people. No. The Bible says the saying pleased the Lord. The saying pleased God. Say, Solomon, you did not ask for wealth. You did not ask for riches. You did not ask for the neck of your enemies. But you are asking for wisdom so that you can govern my people well. Wisdom is granted. But Solomon, I'm also adding what you did not ask. Wealth, riches, it's all yours. The Bible says, if a man's way please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Can you imagine that that man never went to war? His father fought all the time. Solomon did not go to war, but his borders were enlarged. Why? His fame went abroad, and people would just come and say, Solomon, we want to link up with you. Others get such opportunities, and they blow it, and they bring destruction not only upon themselves, but upon the environment, the people around them. These are three positive examples of people who were in the position where God placed them, and they made use, proper use, positive use of the opportunities God gave them. We are here in Bremerton. You are here for such a time as this. You are here in this local church. What opportunities is God giving you, and how are you using them? The Great Commission is still there for us. Christ did say in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Samaria and in all Judea and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this church is needing people who take God's Great Commission very seriously and make use of the opportunities God give you. You can witness. You are given to support missionaries. Praise the Lord. You must witness. You must volunteer to serve here. You must work in such a way that when this generation is passed, another will take your place and continue with this work until Christ comes into glory. If you don't make use of the opportunities God gives you, you lose it. And sometimes with damnable consequences. I want to go to the negative side. I've given you the positive. Now let's look at some examples of people who failed to fulfill the opportunities, to make use of the opportunities God gave them. Let's start with King Saul. Saul was the first king of Israel. The people demanded a king because the sons of Samuel had failed, and they've given cause for God's people to complain, so they demanded a king, something which was so painful to Samuel. But God said, it's all right, do to the people what they want. And so God himself, knowing what the people want, chose Saul, a very tall, handsome young man, to be the first king of Israel. Now, after he became king, God gave him his first assignment. I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites. That was his assignment. When you go, destroy everything. Don't save any, just destroy them. I have a war with those people a long time. The time has come for me to, you know, get rid of them. And then he went. He obeyed and he went. And then God helped him. God gave him power, strength, and he was able to defeat the people. But the detail, God said, destroy everything. He saw cows that were really nice looking. And then he said, does God really want me to destroy all these? No. Let's do something. Look, let's let's get the fat cows one side and then destroy the rest. Said Samuel, oh, we are going to take this. And Saul, we are going to take this and we will go and perform a burnt offering for the Lord, our God. So, was he trying to bribe God? So, and he saved King Agag. He took him. This is my trophy. I'm going to show it to everybody. I conquered. And I brought the king. So Samuel went to meet him. And then he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, Samuel. I have performed all the commands you gave me. Then Samuel said, did you? Now, if you did, what am I hearing? The bleating of sheep and the lowing of cows. What is this bear, bear, and moo, moo? Where is it coming from? And then he said, oh, the people. He started playing the blame game. We did everything as you commanded. We have defeated the people. We have destroyed all of them. But the people saved these nice looking cows so that we could use them to perform a burnt offering to the Lord your God. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the answer that Samuel gave to Saul is something that we should always bear in mind as we are also given the opportunities to serve the Lord, to make sure that not only do we go, but we do things his way. God's work must be done God's way. Whether it makes sense to us or not, he is God. He knows what we do not know, you know. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The Bible says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. But listen to Saul. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Then he added this clause, because I feared the people. That was a lie. He didn't fear anybody. He was just self-willed. Huh? And obeyed their voice. So he was confessing and still making room for what he did wrong. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so he said, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned about to go away. As he did so, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent. for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel healed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. So this man, God gave him the opportunity. And all he needed to do was do what God was asking him to do. God gave him all the strength, every help he needed, God gave him. But he decided to do it his own way. He was a man who was self-willed. He was seen as stubborn. Even in his confession, he made excuses. He found others to blame for his disobedience. When we do that, God will prove to us that he did not need us in the first place. And so this man was set aside. And even though he was allowed to rule, the strength of Israel dropped. And from that day, he was on his way down. And when he saw that David was preferred, then he did everything in his power to try to destroy David. Probably about 10 times he tried to kill him. But when the day of reckoning came, nobody could save Saul. The throne he was protecting for his children, the crown he thought he was keeping, everything went away from him. And all his children were slain with him. It's a blessing to be given the opportunity to serve God. But when we become self-willed, when we begin to do things our way, when we don't do what God is requiring us to do at the material time, we lose it. And we bring destruction upon ourselves. Saul was not the only one who died. The day he died, a lot of Israelites died with him. You know, in that war where he was killed by the Philistines. I think we still have about 10 minutes. Look at one more negative example. This time I want to look at Lot. Lot also had a very good opportunity, but he blew it. You know, in Genesis, we meet Lot following his uncle Abraham. And a time came, they could not live together in the same place because their substance was so much, they needed to, you know, spread up. And the first test was Abraham calling Lot and saying, hey, our people shouldn't be, you know, fighting. We shouldn't be fighting among ourselves. Look, the land is so big. So let's split up. If you take the north, I'll go south. If you go east, I'll go west. And Lot should have given respect to his uncle and said, but uncle, you brought me here. So you show me where to go. No. He looked and he chose the best, you know, part of the land. And he moved away and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, after he did that, God still visited Abraham and renewed his promise of blessings to him. It doesn't matter where you are. If you are where God wants you, his favor and blessings will follow you. Now, the next time we meet Lot, he is no more in the plains. He is in Sodom. And Abraham was visited by the Lord. And at that point, the Lord promised Abraham that he was going to have a child. In a year's time, at this time, you have your own son with your wife Sarah. And Abraham was seeing the Lord off. And then in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord said, should I hide anything from Abraham? Seeing that he will command his children to follow the way of the Lord. You know, God was going to destroy Sodom. And he confided in Abraham. And you can find the story in Genesis 18 and 19. And Abraham started pleading for Sodom. He says, Lord, you are a just God. You should do the right thing. Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God said, I won't do any such thing. Then Abraham said, what about if there are 50 people in Sodom? Won't you, righteous people there, won't you save the city for their sake? God said, I would if there were 50, but there aren't. Whom was Abraham thinking about? Lot and his household. So, he said, probably some of them have left him. What about 40? He dropped it to 40. God said, there aren't. If there are 40, I'll save Sodom. What about 30? There are not 30. If there are 30, what about 20? There weren't. Oh, God. I'm going to ask one more time. Should that also be short of 10? God said, there weren't. And at that time, Abraham stopped pleading with God. Because he concluded that Lot was no more in Sodom. But guess what? The guy was there. But he was minding his own business. Lot was a businessman. If business was good, whatever was happening around him, he didn't care. The Bible says he was a just man. He knew the Lord. But he was there for such a time as this and failed to make use of the opportunity God was giving him. So, God and Abraham parted, and the angels were dispatched. When they went, Lot was sitting in the gate. He has become an elder of the land. He was sitting in the gate where the elders sat and judged. Lot was sitting there. And he saw these strangers, and he went to meet them. There was still some good in him. So he went and said, hey, please, come in and come and rest in my home. Well, they obliged. They went in there, and in the night, we are told the people of Sodom besieged Lot's house. They were saying, Mr. Lot, we saw some beautiful men come into your house. Bring them out. We want to know them. And Lot came out and said, my brothers, did you hear that? He was calling them brethren. Don't do such a thing. Then he made a very dangerous proposition. I have two daughters, virgins, who have never known a man. Let me bring them out to you and do with them whatever you like, but don't touch these men. You know, backsliding is a dangerous thing. Neglecting your duty as God's servant is a dangerous thing. The man was willing to sacrifice his daughters to appease a wicked mob. He had lived in Sodom all these years, pursuing nothing but money. His children had gotten married to the people of Sodom. His servants have all abandoned the God of Abraham. So he was there alone with his wife and these two young women. And he was willing to sacrifice them. Of course, God did not allow that. And as those men pressed on, they were smitten with blindness. But there is something those people said, which we Christians should bear in mind. They said, look at this sojourner. Look at this stranger. You came to perch with us. And now you are trying to tell us what to do. Hey, one of these days, we are all going to be reminded with the reality that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We are here for a very short time, and we are here for a purpose, and we must seek that purpose and fulfill it within our time. Because one of these days, either by death or by the trumpet, you will live here. Lord was reminded, you are a stranger. You don't belong here. You came to perch here. Your values mean nothing to us. Thank God. Those angels smote them with blindness. And they struggled to find their way. Day broke. And the angel said, Mr. Lord, in the night. Do you have any besides these two daughters? Do you have any? And then he went out in the night to try to convince his sons and daughters. His sons-in-law. Married to his daughters, I've got a visitation from Jehovah God. And he has revealed to me that he's going to bring fire to destroy this place. Come, so that we can get out together. The Bible says they looked at him like somebody who was dreaming. See, all those years, he did not witness to them. He did not talk about his God. He did not talk about Jehovah. Then at the 11th hour, you've come in the night. You are trying to convince us to move from this city, Mr. Lord. So, Father, if you are tired of our city, you can go. But business is good. And we are staying right here in Sodom. He went home with a very heavy heart. So when day broke, they were asked to get out. Mr. Lord, Mrs. Lord, let's get out of here. We are going to destroy this place. But the Bible says they lingered because they didn't know what to take. What could they take with such a short notice? Clothing, jewelry. Furniture. What are we taking? They were pacing up and down. What can we carry? So at a point, they were held. The angels grabbed them. One grabbing the children, one grabbing Mr. and Mrs., and they dragged them out of the city. And when they go to the outskirts, they were told, flee to the mountains and don't look back. But Lot said, oh my Lord, if I have found grace in your sight, then allow me to go to this village. It's a small one, and it is close by, the village of Zoar. It's difficult going to the mountains. Some animal may meet us and devour us. The angel said, okay, I've heard you. For your sake, I will not destroy this village. Are you getting the point there? Even at that point, Lot made one request and it was granted. And so when Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surroundings were destroyed, that Zoar was left because Lot was there. Who knows whether you are also here for such a time as this? Who knows whether it is because of you that, notwithstanding all the nonsense that is being spewed in the face of God, God is still holding our countries together? Who knows? We must make use of the opportunities God gives us. Now, Lot was about to lose his family, his wealth, his city, his children, and everything. The day that we are called, we shall go with nothing. The things that are so important to us, when that day comes, they will mean nothing to us. So what must be important to us now is, what does God require of me? As his child in the city of Bremerton, a member of Calvary Baptist Church, what does God require of me? What does he require of me in regards to my family, in regards to my church, in regards to my city, in regards to my country? What does God want me to do in the face of the challenges we are confronting? That is what is most important. That day, the Lord dropped his fire on Sodom. The anger of God burned Sodom. It burned all the trees. It burned all the people. It burned all the houses. And it started burning the very ground on which Sodom and Gomorrah stood. It burned deep into the ground to make it a perpetual example and warning for generations to come. Bible scholars say where Sodom and Gomorrah once stood, that is where you have the Dead Sea. See, the Dead Sea takes its resource from the Jordan and it doesn't go anywhere. It stays in there and it doesn't give anything out. There's no living thing in that sea. Everything there is dead. If you put a fish in, it dies. The salt density is 7 times what you find in the sea. It's a perpetual reminder of what God can do when his people refuse to make use of the opportunities God gave him. So Lot failed to witness to his family. He failed to witness in his city. He failed to glorify God in the presence of people. He was always politically correct. He did not want to offend anybody. He just wanted to make his money quietly and live peacefully. He lost everything. His wife could not keep looking for it. She turned back and became a pillar of salt. She escaped one judgment and fell into another. He went into the mountains eventually, because in Zoar he couldn't survive. He said, let's get out of here. And in the mountains with his daughters, he slept with his own daughters, brought forth with his own children. So those sons were also his grandchildren. What a testimony. Make use of the opportunities God is giving you. The opportunity to pray. The opportunity to witness. The opportunity to take part in what is happening in God's house. So that as our generation phases out, we will raise others to take their place. If we don't make use of those opportunities, we lose it and we bring destruction upon ourselves. May God help us to make a difference. Pastor.